The lens of world system analysis that Wallerstein gives and its explanation of the end of capitalism, along with Alice Miller's explanation of the repetition compulsion and fear of spontaneous feelings that plague totalitarians, particularly the modern version, the Plato's tribesmen, as they very meticulously attempted in the centuries since the French Revolution to turn the torture of infants into a science, quote unquote, helps us understand the freneticism and aggressiveness of the power guy's present actions, why the global statesmen are responding so fiercely to the dramatic growth of our capacity sparked by the Egyptian Revolution and its demonstration of the powerful new evolution organizing tools now in our possession, our new capacity to see the global statesmen and their growing vulnerability with the collapse of capitalism globally, allows us to understand how, why it is they would want more fluid and maneuverable means to respond to our rapid intellectual growth, as it is by controlling our thoughts that they control us. Our rapid intellectual growth as a result of the flowering of our global consciousness. The lens of world system analysis allows us to understand that power necessarily moves in shadow to promote its never stated openly agenda. Allows us to see that they would necessarily perceive the need for tighter containment devices and methods that allow them more timely and precise access to our thoughts. That is, why they would want robust, predictive power regarding our actions toward evolution. Why they want total surveillance to mean total ability to forestall our growth. Allows us to see that they would need means beyond the bludgeon of debt to continue their project of imposing order on the world. Allows us to see why they would want a new geopolitical consensus to replace capitalism. Quote from the Richard Haass article. Promoting World Order 2.0 will require extensive consultations. Forward progress on this agenda will need to come voluntarily from countries themselves, rather than as the result of some top-down edict from a supposedly authoritative body or actor. Looking squarely at the mismatch between the nature and scale of contemporary problems and the capacity of existing arrangements to solve them, governments will have to decide whether they are prepared to sacrifice some autonomy in return for improved collective action of themselves, of states. But the power of discussion and persuasion in driving change over the long term is often underappreciated. Many issues are not sufficiently ripe for official negotiations to succeed, and in the interim, consultations can do much to generate understanding and tolerance of certain actions. Make clear what behaviors are considered reasonable or acceptable, and clarify the likely costs and consequences of going beyond those bounds. The role of U.S. Secretary of State will need to change for the foreseeable future, with a greater emphasis on consultations over the contours of the international order and less on negotiations that solve explicit problems. My comment: as long as the ruling class is united, there can be no, and this is a quote from Karl Popper, who is explaining Plato. As long as the ruling class is united, there can be no challenge to their authority, and consequently no class war, since the ruling class alone has political power, including the power of keeping the number of the human cattle within such limits as to prevent them from becoming a danger, the whole problem of preserving the state is reduced to that of preserving the internal unity of the master class. How is this unity of the rulers preserved? By training and other psychological influences, but otherwise mainly by the elimination of economic interests, which may lead to disunion. Unquote. From Karl Popper's The Open Society and Its Enemies, Volume 1, The Spell of Plato. What exactly about the collapse of capitalism is it that we are unclear on? The Plato's tribesmen have been preparing for, anticipating it, for some time. They needed it to privatize and concentrate resources of the planet in fewer and fewer hands. That job is largely done. Were we to have authentic discussion of even just those few words above of Karl Popper's on the political philosophy of Plato, we could not help but see the identity between what he describes and how our world, lives, have been organized by the power guys. In the above quote from Richard Haass, his prerequisite for world order is this: there must be no non-state actors, and states must act in concert under the authority of the great powers, quote unquote, i.e. the ruling class alone has political power. So, quote unquote, so Mark Zuckerberg is wading into a dark, thick, muddy mess when he says he intends to build the social infrastructure that would allow communities to develop, empower themselves. Quote, there's a social infrastructure that needs to get built to deal with modern problems in order for humanity to get to the next level. Unquote from the article, Zuckerberg, Bucking Tide, takes a public stand against isolationism. In the New York Times of February 17, 2017, a hidden shadow global state, which we must start accepting is and calling necessarily fascist, as every particular state within it is required to suppress not just dissent, and they would say for the good of the whole. So the whole, which is hierarchy and coercion, being but other words for class, may continue to exist. And the February 11, 2017 New York Times brings us an example. African nations are increasingly silencing the internet to head off protests. So every particular state within this global shadow state is not only required to suppress dissent, but to suppress our intellectual development. Global state statesmen have a conflict with humanity getting to the next level. It's called their rule.